Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. If you have your Bible, please open to the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. We want to read this word. It's an affirmation that God wants me to share with you before we start. Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. Amen. I read from here. Can we go one, two, go? And he said to me, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Lord, I have spoken this word as you laid in my heart to your children. May this word not stand against us, but used to edify our spirit, soul, and body to the glory of your name. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. For those of us who are earlier today, it's been wonderful. We've been studying the act of faith in the last 3 weeks, or the 4 weeks, sorry. And today is the fourth week of the study of the act of faith. Today, I want to share something more powerful with you. Say to your friend, God will visit me today. Don't say it as if you don't have faith. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Say it with confidence, God will visit me today. There is no one that ever had the encounter with the Most High God and never been blessed. No one. In my history of the Bible reading, everyone that had encounter with God, they must have something positive to share. I pray today the Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Before I start, I want to say thanks to our guests who have come to see us today for the first time. I pray for first time blessing shall be yours in Jesus' name. And for mommy and daddy all the way from Nigeria, we are grateful for the... Where's daddy again? Okay, I didn't see him when he... Yeah, we want to say thanks for coming back again after many years now. God bless you and God, we honor you. Daddy, we're just talking about you. That is Shewun's dad and mom, if you don't know. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. As you can see, in the Bible study, the workers' meeting we had today, that is indeed a lot of glorious work with the act of faith. The Lord bless you. That was so powerful. I pray God will continue to enrich you and bless you in Jesus' name. Today, I want to share something titled, My Faith or My Fear. My Faith or My Fear. And in reality, every one of us will live by one thing or the other. We either live by faith or we live by fear. Everything in your life, it's factored under those two. It's either your life is being pursued by as a result of faith you have in something or in God, or your fear of something or God. I pray today the Lord will give you an insight of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. A story was shared for those of us who are here yesterday when we are having the Jews' massacre in the Second World War. And that man raised something. He's one of the survivors of the Holocaust. And he said, every one of us, we have two wolves inside us. And said, a young grandson came to his grandfather and asked and said, is it true that we have, pardon me if I get it wrong, that we all have two wolves? And the granddad said, yes, every one of us had two wolves inside us. And he said, so which wolves dominate the heart? He said, it depends on the wolves that you feed. There's a good wolf and a bad wolf. The bad wolf probably brings terror, kills, and destroy. The good wolves is gentle, meek, and productive. So inside us, as you can see, for some people, you know, they can be in church and bring out the good wolf, quiet, gentle, amicably, loving, caring, prayerful, holy. And inside that same man or woman, and it can be outside, and somebody mistakenly splash water on their face, and you see the wicked wolf, the anger, the malicious face, the melancholy face, the swearing, and all this. So every one of us, we have two wolves in us, the good and the bad. Equally, we also have two set of feelings inside us, the faith or fear. I don't know which one dominates your life, but everyone seated here, God asked me to ask you one simple question, which I believe you will be able to answer. What is the dominating emotions and feelings, spiritually, mentally, physically, in your life? Is it the fear of unknown? The fear of the terror of situation? Of faith in God that can do all things? For those who are here last week, and those who are here week before, and those who are here early this morning, you must have had a series of words around faith. Faith, in my own simple term, faith is the ability to trust the living word of God regarding your situation. Ability to trust the living word of God regarding your situation. Why fear? Is the emotional terror that speaks negatively about the word of God. Everyone seated here, you must have something in your mind telling you why things cannot work the way you desire it, and why you probably be afraid of what might happen tomorrow. I was listening to one of the motivation speakers some time ago. He said, we all have the element of fear and make us to do far more than what we should do. Can you imagine this house, this building we have now, this same building, you're seated, quiet, listening. If this same building, the way it is carried to the Everest, Mount Everest, and pulled on Mount Everest, you are still seated here, its atmosphere is the same, but it's put on Mount Everest, probably the tallest mountain in the world. Will you still be comfortable on this chair you are? No change of seat, no change of the environment. The only thing is that you are taken from where you are now. This building is now put on Mount Everest. Now, it's not the mountain that makes the difference. It's your fear or your feeling inside you that makes the difference. Today, we're going to study the book of Numbers chapter 17 and look at the story about two people or two set of people in the scripture. Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 to 21. It's a story about the 12 spies that Moses sent out to look at the promised land and come back with what they believe should be the result. Numbers chapter 13 from verse 17 to 31. It says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into Negev, the south country, then go up into the hill country. Can I have the NKJV version, verse 18? Thank you. Thank you. And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. And whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Sin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Amath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Tamai, the descendant of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Soam in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carry in between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out of the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and said, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you send us. It is truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendant of Anak there. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the..." Verse 29. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Please, to 31. Continue, please. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Is that the last verse? "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Continue, please. "There we saw the giant, the descendant of the Anak, came from the giant, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Continue, please, to the end of the chapter. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Now, look at this story that we had. It's very interesting. The story talks about 12 people that were sent out to spy the promised land. For those of us who are scholars in the Bible, you must have known that God took them from Egypt and asked them to go to the promised land. The promised land we are talking about is a land that God said that flows with milk and honey. It's not just ordinary land. It's a land that the Lord had already blessed. It's like you say to your son and say, "Son, go to a bus 30 from Newport and go to Cardiff. When you get out at City Center in Cardiff, go by the right. I've prepared somebody that will give you a check of £250. And the boy get to Newport City Center and say, "You know what? There is no bus. The buses that I found there, some of them are crooked. Some of them are not even, I can't enter into it. Some of them does not look like, it's like those who are there, they are armed robbers." And the father said, "I have given you a ticket to go to Cardiff, and there I have prepared a place for you." And so all of us have something that called fear inside us when we do not have faith. You know, when we starve our faith, we get fear. In that scripture, in the analogy I spoke earlier about the two wolves in us, when we decide to starve our faith. And how do you starve your faith? By concentrating on the negative aspect of life and concentrating on the things that does not make us to be who God wants us to be. We starve our faith. You know what happens to our faith? It gets strong and possibly dying. But today, our faith will cancel our fear in the name of Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 46, verse 1 to 2, it said, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. And he said, though the earth give and the give way and the mountains fall into the sea, we will trust in the Lord. Book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 18 says, perfect love drives out, cast out fear. When you live a life of love, a life of faith, you have less thing to worry about. And God was sharing with me in the last few weeks, and possibly before then, I know challenges of life that comes your way. You know, I know some of us seated here, you're facing a very terrible situation. And possibly what you are thinking in your head is, maybe God does not understand my situation, and God does not have the ability to sort me out. But what God wants us to do today, and I'm going to be very brief because of our time. First and foremost, look at the life experience of these people that went to the promised land. The two, Caleb and Joshua, and the 10, the rest of them, they have similar experiences. It's the same thing they saw. They all saw the giant, the Anak. They saw the pomegranate, the fig tree. They saw the fruit. They saw everything together. But you know what? They have different perspective of what they saw. There's nothing that happens to you that hasn't happened to anyone before. Nothing. There's nothing you are going through or you will go through or that will happen to you in the future that has never happened to anyone before. Your attitude to it determines whether you live by faith or you live by fear. The Bible said something. It said, the just shall live by faith. We walk not by sight, but by what? We walk not by sight, but by faith. Let me tell you, faith, like I said 2 weeks ago, it's a way of life. It's not something you pick when you come to church. Faith is not, okay, when I only want to read the Bible, I have faith. Faith, it's a way of life. The Bible says, the just shall live, not only on Sunday, shall live by faith. In this place, the experience of people that fear God was that faith have given them what they call positive mindset. If you read later what Caleb said, the Bible says, Caleb silent them. He quieted them and said, shh, I am not to live in the realm of negativity. I am not meant to live in the realm of terrorism. No one speak evil when you can see righteousness, when you can see faithfulness of God. They saw the same thing, but they have different perspective. Maybe peradventure, you have been in a place and they said, this place is a land that swallow the inhabitant. Let's just even face it. Have you ever seen the land that swallow inhabitant before? Have you ever heard? There's one land is just swallowing the inhabitant. How come the anarchy are not swallowed up? One of the second things you will know about people that are fearful, they exaggerate the problem. If you see people who are fearful, that live by faith, they exaggerate the problem. Oh, tomorrow the world will collapse. Now the economy will crash and we all have to beg. I'm not against or for Brexit. Whatever be the will of God, let it be done. But you see some people who say, oh, if the Britain leaves EU tomorrow, there will not be medicine. Who says? Before they joined EU, in 1950s, was there no medication? How did they manage themselves? I'm not for against Brexit. But when you see people who live by fear, they exaggerate problem. I would say, oh, you've not had a child. You are 33. You have not married. Ah, you can't marry again. You know, they make things larger than it is. And that you need to be fearful of those people. When you have people, what they say to you, it's always negative concussion. They cook to you on a daily basis why things should not be done the way it should. what they say every day is, you cannot get it. It's not possible. It's too much for you. You are too short to get there. You are too fat to be there. You are too thin. No, no. They exaggerate to make things to look so bad. That is not faith. That is fear. When somebody comes to you every day and all they want to share with you is the negative side of life, stay away from them. They will starve your faith. They will feed your fear. And they will make you not to live to the purpose of and the fullness of God. Amen. One other thing I found in this place that we read. You need to ask. Those who live by faith, they are source of encouragement. And those who live by fear, they sap your encouragement. Let me share something with you. Maybe that will encourage you. When I was in university some years back, you know, one of the things they would say to you then was, oh, if you're not reading banking and finance, and you're not reading accountancy as a commercial student, and you're not reading insurance, and you're not reading business admin, there is no job for you. You finish, you go about the street looking for job all your life. I was very fortunate, not to speak otherwise. I was reading sociology. As a matter of fact, the first time I heard about that course was when they gave it to me. And so when I got to university and say, what course do you read? I say, you know what? I actually put in for banking and finance, but that has not worked out. But currently, I'm just trying to study sociology. And the first thing they will say to you, oh, so what will you do when you finish? I say, yeah. Because at the time, there's no hope. And so they fed me so much with the negativity of joblessness, hopelessness, no tomorrow. And then I got to year three. I start seeing myself striving, doing, going towards first class. And I said, that's no. They said the bankers are not looking for anybody. They want 2-1 and above. It doesn't matter what you read. That's where people start giving me a new set. You don't need to worry about that. Even if you have 2-1, you can get a good job. It doesn't have to be the particular job, a career you're pursuing. You know, that's some people that you have. They sap away your encouragement. And those are people that live by fear. But those who live by faith, they give you an encouragement. A story was said also about rescuer, those who rescue people from water. Lifeguard, you know. They said, if you are drowning in the water of life, and a lifeguard comes to you, and you are still struggling to hold on to them, they will leave you. Because if you grab them while you are drowning, you both go down. No rescue for you. So what they do is that when they find that you are still struggling to grab for life, they allow you to go down. When you lose all hope, they'll come to take you up. That's when they can rescue you. When you see people who are struggling, what they do, they take everything good in you. And they deposit debt into your life. Sometimes you need to choose the friend that you have around you. Sometimes you need to choose who you relate with. You need to choose possibly your mentor, your relatives. It may not be a person you can choose, but you can decide what you listen to. Because if somebody comes to you and say to you, do you know what? If the way you are immigration-wise, you know they will deport you next week. And these are the people you listen to. You know what? You're going to sap all the glory, all the strength, all the ability. Maybe you're unemployed and they're saying, you know what? You're not going to pay your house rent. You know, don't stay with that place. Stay with people that will say, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than what you think or ask, according to the power that works in us. Another thing you need to learn from people who lives by fear. What can you say about this thing? If you read the chapter that follows chapter 14, what happens to people that live by fear? They live in a circle over a long period of their life. By the time these people finished with Moses and Aaron and the rest, do you know the sentence God passed to them? 40 years in wilderness. 40 good years. Do you know what God said to them? One day, by the days you've gone to spy the place, it will turn to a year. And so, when you live with people or you live with fear, you allocate your breakthroughs. Whenever all that around you is about fear, you allocate the blessing that God has for you. And that's what happened here. These people, they are living by fear. And so God himself calls them. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Maybe you are thinking, Pastor, everyone talks about faith. I don't understand what this faith is all about. It's believing the word of God above every circumstances. If you read the book of Hebrew from beginning to the end, what does the Bible say about those who live by faith? Today, Alison was sharing with us from chapter 27 or so, downward. You know, he was talking about, look at, he talks about David. He lived by faith. How can David face Goliath? I don't know. If they ask me to face Iron now, I probably want to look at the height and say, this guy, if he come left and right, am I able to cover his jab? No, but can you imagine somebody almost 1.5 of Iron? It's not tiny. Very, very big. One of the theologians said David is short in stature. He's naturally, not because he was short in stature. And at the time, he was even a teenager. Possibly, he might be the size of my first daughter. And can you imagine if you ask the lion to go and face Ayo, just imagine, and say, go and fight, no, hand to hand. Forget about the armors that he had. But the Bible said David ran. That's most faithful aspect of it. The Bible said David ran towards Goliath. He didn't walk. He didn't stay. He ran. How can you? He didn't have the bodyguard, no shield, no helmet, no sword, nothing. He ran. That's what they call faith. That I said to Goliath, I said, today, I promise you, the boss of the year, they will eat you. They will eat your head. And it's not just a word of mouth. You know, some people, they are very good in talking. I'm going to do it. I believe God. But they take no action. But faith is believing God and doing it. Bible said, show me your work and I will show you my faith. No, you need to do something to show you believe in God. Somebody said, I remember, I'll tell you this story. When I was younger, I think God saved me earlier by the grace of God. I was living in somewhere in Lagos. For those of us who are born in Nigeria and Lagos, you probably know, I live in Mushi. It's one of the very ghetto places. And so, this day, I'm not sure whether I have finished my university looking for a job. I had no job. As a matter of fact, at the time, if you had to quantify my amount I have in hand, it might be less than £20 worth of it. And then I took bus. The public bus, they call it, you know, Molue, you know, it's a bus, the big one, you know. And I went to Western Avenue. For those of you, it's very close to stadium, the National Stadium. You know, there they say cars, lovely cars. And I got there, I have no idea of money, but I purposely dressed in one of my best dress. I dressed gorgeously. I had no job, no money. And I went around to see if I came with a car. And I start pricing cars. I look at this one. How much is this? I'll sit in it. I guess Bobby thinking that, hey, this guy has money. Inside me, I just walk. I had no penny, not even job. If they give me my loan, I can't even pay it monthly. But I walk around there. I was looking at the cars. I love this one. I love this one. Okay? And I said to myself, God, I'm going to buy this car very soon. And so I left. I didn't buy it immediately. It took me almost 5 years before I bought one or two. But I walked by faith then, said, God, I'm going to buy a car. Then I think I must be in my university. I'm not sure if I finished. But God gave me that assurance. If you believe, take a step. You know, my dad had only one downfall all through his life. By the grace of God, before I left, I don't know how many cars I had before I left Nigeria, but God gave me grace. But what I'm saying is, when you say you have faith, you take action. Look at what happened here. Joshua and Caleb, they said, let us go now and possess the place. What did they see? They saw Anak. Anak represents the Goliath. They are high stature. They are the product of fallen angel and meeting with natural woman. That's what happened in the Genesis chapter 6. These are the ones that brought Anak. They brought people of high stature, almost double of my size, big. And said they live there. But Joshua said, and Caleb, let us go and possess the place. It's not the problem that is the problem. It's your faith that knows how to conquer the problem. If you cannot have exceeding faith, your problem becomes expanded. But if you have faith, it becomes like nanos, minor things. I care less about the animosity of your problem. I care more about the faith that can conquer it. Because what you saw in the life of Caleb and Joshua was that they are very positive that our God is able to give us the place. What is the common thing you will see about the people that lives in fear? Number one, those that live in fear forget about their past testimonies. Those that live by fear, they forget about their past testimonies. Has God ever done anything good to anyone here before? How did he do it? Look at the Bible said they were in slavery 400 years and 430 years in slavery, and over a period of less than 2 months, God took them out. Despite the fact that Egypt at the time was the biggest, most industrious, most military zone of any part of the world, God took them out. Has any of us ever had to cross under what they call a divided ocean before? Have you experienced walking through a divided ocean before? They saw it. Has any of us ever been seeing food coming from the sky and you feed on it on a daily basis? They saw it. Have any of you ever seen water coming from the rock? You speak to the rock and brought out water before. They saw it. Yet, they cannot believe God can give them what he said. That is what they call very short-sighted people. Where is your faith? The Lord that took you from slavery, where you've been for 430 years. The Lord that divided the Red Sea. The miracles of 10 plagues that happened to the Egyptians. You saw all these things. And yet your faith cannot believe what God said about you. Anytime fear comes, remember your past testimonies. Anytime fear comes upon you, think about what God said about you. Think about what God has done for you. Some of us, we have gone through life challenges that people thought it's over for you, and the Lord brought you out. And yet, a simple small problem comes, say, oh my God, where are you? Your God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the second thing that happens to the people that lives under the fear? They become satisfied with the present. They say to themselves, I'm okay now. Let's not go to the promised land. Let's stay in the wilderness. It's okay here. I don't want too much. Lord, don't give me car. If I can get money for bus pass, it's okay. I'm not asking for too much. Just let me stay here. Lord, even if you cannot do anything, just let me be this small. The Bible says, for the thought of God towards us is of good and not of evil, to give us hope and expected end. It's not, God is not interested in giving you a peanut. When Jesus was talking to the woman that came to him and said, come and heal my daughter. And Jesus said, we don't give what belongs to children to who are dogs, outsider, the outcast. But the woman even believes so much that God even had to give. It means what belongs to you cannot be given to somebody else. So you have something that God has for you. So why do you limit your current situation? Why do you limit God? They're so satisfied. They feel like nothing more. Let me stay where I am now. But I'm telling you, if you have faith, considering what God has done in the past, it can change all situations. Look at Jesus Christ. They came to Jesus. You know, it was when he was on earth. Can you imagine how Jesus was powerful? They came to him. They said, you know what? It's time to disgrace him. Those people that always call upon the name of the Lord. You know, he called himself to be something. He doesn't have penny. We are going to disgrace him now. Oga, give me your tax. We pay your tax now, because you are due to pay. And Jesus looked at them. Have you forgotten that when I have 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, I fed 5,000? Have you forgotten that when I have just 2 loaves of bread and few fishes, I fed 4,000? And so you think I cannot provide money to pay my tax? They say, Fisherman Peter, go to the water. Any fish you catch, bring it, open it, you will see the money, exact money to pay. Let me tell you one thing. When you trust so much about God, it will make a way where there is no way. It's by faith. It's not. You know, I listened to something about Abraham. Abraham was about to buy a burial ground to bury his wife, Sarah. And he was saying to the children of Hamor, he said, give me this portion so that I can bury my dead. They said, oh, we'll give it to you free. He said, no, give it to me. And they gave him the amount. The Bible used the word, KJV say, he gave them what they call current money. Current. I can't forget that word. It means current need require current money. You have what you need when you need it. That is what God does. He provides exactly what you need beyond your imagination. That's why you cannot just die accidentally, because your God is with you. The third thing that happens to people that lives by fear is that they became fearful of the future. They became fearful of the future. The past, they forget about the past testimonies. They are contented with the current situation, but they are dreadful of the future. They're saying, I don't think there's hope for me. Maybe they will deport me. Maybe I won't have this. Maybe I won't have job. Maybe I will die young. Maybe this sickness will kill me. Maybe this thing. No, they talk about so many negative things. You know what? God is saying, be positive about the future. What did Caleb said? After 40 years, after these 40 years, he went back to Joshua. He said, give me that mountain. You heard it when I said it in the presence of your presence to Moses, that mountain, I want it. And he said, as my strength was 40 years ago, so it is now. 75 years old or thereabout. The same strength. It was so positive about tomorrow. It was so positive about the hand of God. What is your tomorrow looks like? What does your tomorrow look like? Blessed, glorious, powerful? It's based on your faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. I want you to just rise on your feet as you talk to God.